This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We've got the opportunity to talk about one of my favourite players as he returns to Arsenal news stories. Not only that, there's some refereeing chaos in multiple competitions, Mikel Arteta's press conference, and Aaron Ramsdale potentially leaving the club. That and more in today's Arsenal news show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show, joining you every single morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in and making this a part of your morning routines. It is incredibly appreciated. I hope you had a fantastic weekend and that you're ready for a brand new week. It does help when Arsenal provide the goods, and they did on Saturday evening by beating Wolves. If you want to hear my thoughts about that game in extra detail, you can go back and watch yesterday's Raw Reaction show, breaking down everything from the game and discussing all the ins and outs of the fixture. But we're going to move very swiftly on to looking forwards, because that's what Arsenal need to do now, between now and the end of the season, as they have just 5 games remaining, which separate them from a potential first title in 20 years. It's still very much in the mix, but Arsenal will be relying on others to drop points, but just need to focus on winning every game that they've got left this season as well. Let's jump into the chat, though, and say good morning to those that are joining us. Thank you ever so much for doing so. Darren, Ryan, Rowan, Matt G, I can see Amesie and Temmie. Good morning to Mike and Justin, Peter, Stevie, Luke. We've got Leopold and Colin. We've got Jose. Thank you to all of you tuning in. Incredibly appreciated. And I hope that you've had and are doing very well. If you're listening on Catch Up, thank you for doing so. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or wherever, thank you for listening back. And make sure you hop over to YouTube to drop a like on the video. We try and hit 1,000 likes every single day on the show, and every single one does help. We only just managed to reach it yesterday. I think we're on like 1,004. So please do make sure you drop a like on today's show. It would be incredibly appreciated. So thank you for that. Right, shall we jump into today's stories? Actually, we'll do something first. Because I talked about it yesterday a lot, and obviously I should mention it now because she's next door recovering. But she did indeed, the missus, Mrs. TGT, did complete the London Marathon in under 5 hours. So she absolutely smashed it. You can see all of the photos from yesterday, which was an amazing day, actually, up and around London. Crazy transport, crazy trying to get around, but it was a brilliant day, and she smashed it. Right, moving forwards to Arsenal's news. The WSL and Arsenal winning continues. They beat Leicester 3-0. 2 goals from Beth Mead and a third from Alessia Russo on the day. Leaves the WSL table still very much as it was before, with Chelsea 3 points ahead of Arsenal, City 6 points ahead of Arsenal, and not too many games left to go. And Arsenal would be reliant upon those teams dropping points if they are to have any hope of picking up the WSL position that they need. But what they are obviously clear of is fourth. They're 11 points clear now of Manchester United in fourth place, which is putting them in a very, very good position for next season's competitions. But they still need to continue to push, because you never know what might happen. You never know if anyone might drop points, and we keep fingers crossed that they certainly do that. I didn't get to talk about this yesterday, so I'm mentioning it today, and that's that Arsenal's under-18s won yet again. They beat Aston Villa. At least someone finally did. They won 4-2 against Aston Villa's under-18s. They actually went 2-0 down in the game and came back to win 4-2. A penalty from Michael Oroziak before George Copley got a goal, and then Zesevic John with a goal in the 51st minute before the one, the only, Chido Obi-Martin scoring in the 92nd minute to continue his fine form, as well as Jack Wilshere's side continue to be very, very impressive indeed in the English under-18s Premier League. The table as it stands right now in the southern section is Arsenal sitting third on 41 points, Chelsea top of the Southern Division on 48 points, having played a game less than Arsenal, and West Ham United having played a game more than Arsenal, despite losing 8-1, of course, very recently to Arsenal, have 46 points. So if Arsenal were to win the game in hand, they could go 2 points within second place in that under-18s table. So very good news indeed, and the form continues to be very impressive. Now we move to yesterday's Premier League action, and Everton won a huge and controversial game against Nottingham Forest. I'll talk more about that in the refereeing roundup in a second. Yes, we have a refereeing roundup now. And Aston Villa won 3-1 against Bournemouth, despite going 1-0 down, to really take a bit of a stranglehold on that fourth place spot in the Premier League table. Spurs, of course, not playing this weekend because they were supposed, I believe, to play Manchester City. And so that game has been postponed until a later date. Spurs have obviously got 60 points. Aston Villa, having played two games more, have 66. But Spurs have some very difficult games in hand. And they've still got to play Arsenal, of course, as well, which is on it's this weekend. Very exciting indeed. Crystal Palace absolutely battered West Ham United. Took a 4-0 lead in the first half before winning 5-2 by full time. And from a title race perspective, Liverpool kept pace with Arsenal, winning 3-1 against Fulham, but they remain 8 goals off them in goal difference, so remain in second place with 5 games remaining in the table. I said there was going to be a refereeing roundup, and there is a refereeing roundup to discuss, because there were 3 big things from the weekend that happened. We'll start with the Nottingham Forest one. Nottingham Forest tweeting after the game, 3 extremely poor decisions, 3 penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We wanted the PGMOL the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton Town fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Nottingham Forest Football Club will now consider its options. I don't know what those options are, by the way. I have absolutely no idea what Nottingham Forest are alluding to. As someone that lived in Nottingham for a few years, I've got my certain affinities there. I'd like them to stay up, from just purely a selfish point of view. I'm really torn about this. I absolutely empathise with the fans that are very much like, yes, Forrest, go call out the referees, because they've just been so inconsistent. And we here have been calling out referees' inconsistencies for an incredibly long period of time, a massively long period of time. And it's very frustrating that these decisions continue to be, so lackluster. And what I'm so frustrated about with refereeing at the moment is that referees just don't make decisions anymore. They're just not making calls. They're not making penalty calls because they're so reliant on VAR there to kind of overturn any glaring errors. But the problem with that is that because of the threshold that it takes for VAR to actually get involved, the psychological responsibility that referees are giving to VAR to kind of pick up on mistakes is then being negated by the fact that they can't then overturn decisions because the threshold is so high and they don't want to re-referee games. There's a huge conflict going on. I empathise with Nottingham Forest. I know they've been very hard done by this season with decisions. The Liverpool one in particular, which hurt Arsenal as well, was of course up there. But it's just ridiculous, like the consistency. But at the same time, I do also empathise with the other side of the argument, which is this the right way to do it? And the honest answer is I don't know. People are suggesting that it's an embarrassment that Forest are coming out and basically they're they're creating an issue by doing this in this fashion. So it's going to be one that we'll follow. It's going to be one that we will look closely on, because it will have a, it could potentially have ramifications. What the information at the moment is that this tweet is being investigated by the FA, supposedly. So we'll see if there's any ramifications from the decision to tweet this statement out. To the Clásico, where Lucas Vázquez won a penalty, which seemed and has plenty of similarities to that Bukayo Saka challenge with Manuel Neuer. And look, I've had my say on the Bukayo Saka thing. I'm not going to go over old ground. But what I am going to say is that if this is a penalty and they're giving this as a penalty in La Liga, then obviously there's so many similarities between Vázquez, you know, extending that leg to buy the penalty. And it should be given. Of course, this is La Liga officiating, not UEFA officiating, it's worth pointing out. But you, I absolutely understand why Arsenal fans were plastering this all over their timelines yesterday. And again, it just highlights the inconsistency of decision-making, of refereeing across football. And that's the reality of it. And you might think that this isn't a penalty, but the fact of the matter is that it you know, it got them a penalty, whereas the Arsenal one didn't get them a penalty. So it's just, that's, it's just the reality that we're in. And then lastly, of course, we have the Manchester United very near humiliation in the FA Cup semi-final against Coventry. Brilliant effort by Coventry City to return from 3 goals down to make it 3-3 on the day. And then an offside by the narrowest of margins. Now, there is obviously irony with Arsenal and Man United's game at the Emirates early this season, and Garnacho's ruled out goal for offside, which Erik ten Hag came out and described as not being offside, despite it being factually offside. And the same is here. You know, he is offside. I believe it's O'Hare in the moment. He is offside in the build-up. It's a very, very tight call, and it's horrible, and it's destroyed one of the greatest FA Cup moments of all time. But it is offside. So, like, just like I said for the Manchester United one, it was offside. You have to stand with the VAR decision. No matter how tight it is, this is also offside. If this is what we want, if this is the VAR we want it for, you know, it's just, this is what we want. This is, you know, if we want the calls made, it's just about whether or not you want VAR. It's not given in real time. But it factually is the correct decision that has been given. Does it ruin the spectacle? Maybe. Is it the right decision that was made and so therefore deservedly ruled out? Yes. So I don't really get it. I don't really get the calls to say that this should, you know, it's complete bias, or, you know, bias against Manchester United, or bias towards the FA Cup miracle. But, you know, it's... yeah, it's just offside. So I don't really understand what the drama's about, really. So, yeah. But there you go. So three, the controversy. We're doing referee roundups now. There's so many refereeing chaotic decisions these days. That's what we ended up doing on the channel. Moving into Arsenal-specific news. According to The Sun, Wolves are said to be keen on Aaron Ramsdale. Will apparently make approach for the player in the summer transfer window, as Jose Sarr is said to be looking at a potential move away to Saudi Arabia. Whether or not Wolves constitute a size of club that Ramsdale is willing to make that switch to remains to be seen. We know that Chelsea have had interest in the past. And so for that reason, I don't know whether or not he'll wait it out to see if a bigger club comes along than Wolves. But it seems that he's heading towards the exit door, and that Wolves are said to be one of those sides that are keen in the player. Moving to Santi Cazorla, of which the reason why I'm wearing the shirt I'm wearing today, which is the Real Oviedo shirt of with Santi Cazorla adorned on the back of it. He did an interview actually with The Guardian. It was a very good one. I recommend you go and read it. I think it was with Sid Lowe, who was always fantastic when it comes to Spanish football. I recommend you read the whole thing on the Guardian website. But just to pick out the Arsenal-related thing, he was asked about the nostalgia he has for the club being Arsenal, and he says he says here, when he was asked about it, training on the pitch in 2018, he says, "I really want to go back. I owe them a lot. They hold a special place. I also have a great friend there," being, of course, Mikel Arteta. He said, "Cazorla saw Mikel Arteta's managerial potential before anyone. It was and it was bloody annoying, apparently," writes Sid Lowe. "Injured, watching games together, he would get the remote and pause it. 'What are you doing?' he would say. 'Go back, rewind 30 seconds and ask, 'What do you see?' 'I see a pause screen,' says Santi. 'What do you want me to see?' he would say. 'Look at this guy here, how badly he's positioned. If he goes here and he goes there, this space opens up. every game pausing every 20 seconds. The match has finished and we're still in the 20th minute. And I'm thinking, what's with this guy? He sees it. I love football, but I don't. I think it's a gift. He's pausing. Can't you see we're doing this badly? Don't you think the left back should be deeper, that he should be drawing out his marker? Don't you think that we can create the space there? I said yes to everything. Yes, you're completely right, Mikel. Now press play, I'd say. Mate, you're a coach already, he said. Yeah, I see things that make me think I should be. And we talked a lot. He still loved playing, but working with Pep Guardiola at Manchester City was an opportunity. The best apprenticeship, I said. Mikel, if that's what moves you, go for it. It's worked out well. Mikel has changed their Arsenal mentality. And when I was there, something was missing. Mikel changed that and they have an incredible squad. I love Martin Odegaard and see myself in him, like him. I found a coach in Arsene Wenger who gave me confidence. He made me captain before I could say hola in English. Declan Rice reminds me of Aaron Ramsey, appearing everywhere. A brutal player. Arsenal are clear candidates for the league. A really great interview, and it goes on way longer than that. And I recommend you go and read the entire thing on, as I say, on the Guardian website. It talks about his time at Oviedo, talks about a lot of his career. And he is by far my favourite player from my watching time at the club. And I'd welcome him back at the club in a coaching capacity and open arms to just be an ambassador around the club. In any way you can bring Santi back to Arsenal, it needs to be done. It should be done. He talks there about how he doesn't necessarily see it when Arteta does. So maybe it's not necessarily a coaching perspective. Maybe it's just a mentorship perspective. But there's obviously always, I think, a place for Santi. And that's really, really important. Let's go to what is the final story of the day, which is Mikel Arteta's press conference. It is taking place this afternoon. Of course, you'll be able to follow all the updates on the football.london website from the Shubba Realty Training Centre. Mikel Arteta will be addressing the media to talk about the game tomorrow against Chelsea. Hopefully, he'll be bringing you a preview show a little bit later on today, probably around 5-6 o'clock tonight. I'll be putting a message into our Discord server to get interest in the show, so make sure you look out for that. But he'll be discussing the reaction to the Wolves game. Jurrien Timber is actually set to play, I believe, tonight, potentially, for the under-21s. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but there's significant signs that is going to be the case. So he may get asked about that. And then when Jurrien Timber comes back, of course, it's going to be a big, big boost to the team. But how many games he's able to play between now and the end of the season remains to be seen. But Arteta's press conference, he'll be asked about that. He'll be asked about Chelsea, about recovery, rotation, and the title race, I'm sure, as well. Maybe about some refereeing decisions too. So I guess that's one to look out for. Right, let's go to part two and your questions then right after this.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, part two, which means we're going to jump straight into the chat box and tackle some of your thoughts from the first part of the show. And of course, any questions that you've got coming up for everything else. In reaction to yesterday's FA Cup, Damien says, I was so gutted. I typed my message to my Man United friends with a load of laughing emojis just before I pressed send. VAR ruined it. Well, I guess I'm glad it happened before you press send, because otherwise, Damien, that would be very annoying. I remember back in the day when Chelsea played Bayern Munich in a Champions League final, and I think it was Robin that scored. And I remember sending a laughing emoji to my Chelsea supporting friend, only for Chelsea to go and win that very same Champions League final. So you got to be patient, you know, and you got to learn from those errors because you can come back to bite you. Tailwood Studio says, goal line technology and goal line officials not being a thing in La Liga makes it all more hilarious because VAR couldn't be employed efficiently either. Yeah, another really ridiculous. It's the fact we're in 2024 and referee decisions are still absolutely ludicrous. Maggie says, Tom, well, what do you think of the opinions Nottingham Forest are considering? I'm considering what to have for breakfast. I'm thinking bacon and cereal. Bacon or cereal. It's important to put that or between that, otherwise that'd be pretty disgusting. But I don't know what the options are, mate. I've absolutely no idea, Matt. It could be anything. I don't know. I don't want legal grounds they could stand to argue. I really don't. So it's a very strange one. Ashmael says, Tom, are you confident against Chelsea tomorrow? Our players look so tired in the last game. Also, if we couldn't get more than last season's 84 points, would you still see that as improvement? Of course, we are moving closer. Every season is different contextually. We've beaten Manchester City, which we didn't do last season. We lost them twice last season. We've beaten and drawn against them. Liverpool, of course, we've got another win and a draw against a much better Liverpool team. It's a much harder league this season than it was last season. So, yeah, context is always very important. Carl says, TV commentary said Timber played last week in the under-21s, which was obviously a mistake. Yes, he didn't play in the under-21s last week at all. Chun Ho says, Tom, how many points do you think we will get in the games this week against Chelsea and Spurs? 6, mate. Obviously 6, because I'm not expecting any less, because we need to. We need 6, and we can get 6. Arsenal are the favourites for every game they have between now and the end of the season, and they should be. So, yes, without a doubt, it will be, without question, 6 points. Please don't clip me. Matt G says, why did I write opinions? I don't know. I don't know why you did. I've got the itchiest nose this morning. I think I've got a cold crying on. Sorry. I know you can notice me doing that. It's really there. It's horrible when I'm trying to talk. Z says, who do you think starts tomorrow? Trossard and Martinelli. What was your and what was the missus time yesterday? She did it in 4:48 was the time. And I think that Trossard will probably start again tomorrow because he scored. We need him starting. He's the best finisher at the club. So I think, and I would start him tomorrow. Julian says, I thought Onana was moving off his line before the penalties were being kicked. And I thought VAR might look at that. It's so inconsistent, is it? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Amberley says, hay fever. Yeah, I think it's that. I think the hay fever is coming. It's really frustrating as well when I talk every morning. And in the summers, you can feel it. And you get it all tickly up here. And it's like, there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's really frustrating. Martin says, the problem Forest have is they're dealing with matters of opinion and not matters of fact. Exactly, which makes it absolutely near impossible to kind of build a case in so many ways. Thomas Oliver says, what are your thoughts on Ten Hag mentioning Garnacho's offside at the carpet again? My thoughts are the man is bordering on is psychotic. Is that the right word? He seems mad. He seems insane. That he continues to, he's just the least accountable manager on earth. How can he bring up the Garnacho offside in a game in which it was so obviously, maybe he was talking about the penalty more so, the Højlund penalty shout, but even then it's not a penalty on Højlund by Gabriel. It's just, yeah, shocking. He is a shocking coach and a shocking person, to be fair. Daniel says, only player I'm worried about playing against is Cole Palmer. He's banging for me. He's a brilliant player. Absolutely stunning season from Cole Palmer. You got to respect it. He's been utterly brilliant. Wade Bruce says, if we beat Chelsea tomorrow, that will send another shockwave in the minds of our rivals. I feel Man City will drop points in either the Brighton or the Tottenham game. I hope that you're right, mate. Damien says, Onana having to do Martinez-level mind games in the shootout made that result even more embarrassing. Julian says, Tom, if we win all of our games, do you think we'll win the league? It's a great question, because it's the big question. If we win all of our games, there is a chance. All we need City to do is drop something. If we win all of our games, I think we will win the. I'm going to go there and say I think that we will. If we can win all of them, I just hope and pray. It's just the optimist in me. I'm always going to be forever optimistic. But if we can win all of our games, Julian, then I'm going to go, yes, I think we might. Do I think we win all of our games is another question, and one I'd rather not answer, to be honest. Carl says, Tom, were you banking on Fulham yesterday like I was? I felt they let us down. To be honest, I'm not even looking at Liverpool. Because it's City who we need to look at. City are the team that we're, and to be honest, I'm barely looking at them. I'm just focusing on us. We just need to win the next game. Just win the next game. Let's stop focusing on Liverpool and City and just continue to focus on ourselves. Nunzo says, how much will Cole Palmer cost now? City must be kicking themselves. Yeah, he's 100 billion plus player already after one season. It's quite ridiculous, isn't it? Thomas says, morning, Tom. Hope you're well. Who, if anyone, would you try and rest for the game against Chelsea? I mean, can you rest anyone in this game now? I don't think we can. I think you just have to go as full strength as you can, because the game to rest players was Wolves. We might have an opportunity to rest players against Bournemouth, maybe, but then we would have had a week rest after Spurs. I don't think there's another chance to rest players anymore. I think you just have to go all out every game and keep your fingers crossed the players are good enough and fit enough. Sir Nicholas says, oh my goodness, what's hay fever? It sounds awful. How can you not know? Unless this is a sarcastic, sick joke and you've never suffered with it before. How can you ask what hay fever? It's just terrible. It's just like you're just constantly feeling always bunged up, always like your nose is running, your nose is itchy, you get itching on the back of your neck, itching your ears. It's horrible. And I suffer from it very annoyingly. Tizer says, hey, Tom, do you think refereeing integrity is in question? The only way Forrest knew VAR was a Luton fan is via Clattenburg, and they then keep him on and the three shocking decisions. It's interesting, isn't it? Because we've been refereed by Liverpool fans. Gerard Gillett is, I think it's public knowledge. It's been said that in interviews that Gerard Gillett has admitted to people that he's a Liverpool supporter. So, and he will never referee Liverpool games other than, I think, one crazy one when he first joined, or, you know, maybe it was a pre-season game or something. But is it unavoidable? Is it avoidable in any way to stop it? Probably. It's probably avoidable, but it does seem mad that a Luton Town fan who would want Forest to drop points because they're the nearest rivals to Luton would be allowed to be on VAR. So it's very hard. But maybe it's not. Maybe it should be really simple. And you just say, well, if they knew that it was a Luton Town fan on the VAR and the VAR didn't give any of the penalties against for Forest, then who's to say, you know? And the thing is, because they're making all these, they're making so much noise, there is also an argument, of course, as well, that is that going to have a psychological impact on the refereeing decisions? Yeah, it's an argument that maybe they would. Sophie says, Arteta's starting league positions and performance also poor. If United win the FA Cup and we don't win anything, they've had a more successful season, we would have evolved more. I wouldn't swap it, Sophie. If Man United win the FA Cup, I'm not swapping it. Same as I wouldn't swap last season. If you're telling me you'd rather swap places with Man United, that's fine. But I wouldn't. Absolutely wouldn't. So Nicholas says, it wasn't a joke. I've literally never heard of hay fever. Is it like allergy? It's exactly like allergies, yes. It's an allergy to pollen, basically. But it's horrible. I also have allergies to cats and dogs, which means that pollen, cats, dogs, all of them set me off. I love, there you go. Sophie says, I didn't say I'd swap it, which is fine. But I think, Sophie, by saying that, you know, if United win the cup and we don't win anything, they've had a more successful season. I think there's a debate to be had, but I don't think they will win the FA Cup. I think Man City will beat them, but I wouldn't swap it. And if you wouldn't swap it, if you're saying that we haven't succeeded and they have, and you're saying you wouldn't swap a successful season in your mind if you consider that a successful season and ours not, then is there hypocrisy there? I don't know. Is that a contradiction? Maybe. But I wouldn't swap places with them. that's for damn sure. Damon says, if there's any potential conflict of interest that make the change, that takes the cheating element out of the conversation. And cheating is obviously it's a very big word. If you're going to start, I mean, I'm not saying, Damon, you're using that word, but I'm saying obviously, like, you know, if the accusations from Forrest would be hypothetically it's a huge, huge accusation. Wes says, Tom, Harry was talking about how Arteta has rotated as much as he can, considering his 11 aren't the same level as second 11, but he hasn't been proactive enough in games with subs. I think Harry's spot on, and this is what I've been saying. You know, I think that maybe he has rotated as much as he can, but he's not been as proactive in bringing players off as quickly as he should. We've talked about this before. I think he could have rotated in some games. I think I would have rotated against Wolves a little bit more than he did. But I think the main issue for Arteta is he's not bringing players off quick enough. The Sheffield United game, the Lons game, the West Ham game, the Burnley game, the Palace game. They're all opportunities to make subs earlier, and we didn't do that. And we've paid for that somewhat. But Bournemouth away, it was another. I think I remember, if you go back and watch our Bournemouth away when we won, 4-5-0? I talk about in that game from, when was it? October, November time, I talk about how we should have been subbing earlier. And that was way back in October, November time. So it's not like I've been inconsistent about this. Amira says, I wouldn't swap managers, no debate. Of course not. I don't think that's what Sophie was saying, to be fair, but it's more about kind of how the perception of both teams' seasons if Man United were to win the league. And the thing is, like, Erik ten Hag was talking about the fact that he's got into three finals in two seasons. Like, if you look at Manchester United's record in the cup competitions and how the runs that they've had, it's like Arsenal in the last 2 years in the FA Cup have been knocked out by City and they've been knocked out by Liverpool. And which I don't have too many, I can't have too much of an issue with at the end of the day, to be honest. And in the League Cup games, we've been knocked out when we've rotated heavily. Like in the League Cup against Brighton, I think we rotated quite significantly. I think Nketiah and Nelson started that game at the Emirates. I think Carl Hein was in goal that game. And you can say that maybe we shouldn't, but that's the reality. Is I think that we can't moan about rotation and needing to rotate more as a club. And then when we do rotate and get knocked out of cup competitions, we then moan that we rotated. You can't have both. So we've been unfortunate, I think, in the cup competitions with the draws and the reality that our squad has been highlighted of not being deep enough yet. And hopefully from next season going forwards, we will have a squad that can compete far more effectively across cup competitions as well as the league and the Champions League. But we've reached the Champions League quarterfinal for the first time in 14 years in a same season that we're successively challenging for the league again. So I can't have too many qualms. You know, I cannot have too many qualms. Vivian says, I kind of hope Man United win the FA Cup so that they keep Ten Hag. I think they sacked Van Gaal after he won the FA Cup. So it's not a guarantee if he wins the FA Cup that he will stay. Nexus says, Tom, United could win a trophy, whereas Arsenal have dropped out of every competition bar in the league. But if they win the FA Cup, they have silverware and Arsenal don't. The irony is, of course, Nexus, is that Arteta's biggest critics often turn around and don't give him any credit for winning the FA Cup. So if you get Arteta's biggest critics turning around, well, look at Ten Hag, he's won the FA Cup. Again, there's an irony and a contradiction and hypocrisy there. From my perspective, I wouldn't swap our positions with Man United, even if they won the FA Cup, because I think we are far closer to achieving some dominance in competitions than Manchester United are. Far, far closer. And I think that they might have some success now by winning the FA Cup, but I wouldn't swap that because I honestly believe that the success that Arsenal are moving towards will be far outweighing any of this success that they're having, if you want to call it that, under Erik ten Hag. A man like Sayers says two trophies isn't bad for a crumbling club. And you're right. It is important to win trophies. And I'll be very disappointed if under the next 10 year of Arteta, under his next contract, which I expect to happen, if we win nothing, it will all have been for nothing. But right now we're not there. And I see us being in a far, far stronger position of being more dominant across cup competitions moving forwards throughout the season. Mark says, random question, how are you doing in the channel's fantasy football league, and are you still in the cup? I'm definitely not in the cup. No, I've had a very poor season this season in fantasy, to be fair. I will have a quick check on our fantasy league to see how things are going in the TGT league, which has nearly, I think, 2,000 players. I'm currently 456, so I'm in the top 25%. I think we've got 2,000 odd players, maybe it's 1,500. If so, I'm in the top 33%, which I'm happy with. But I'm scrolling down the chat. I always like seeing who's bottom and why they're bottom of the table. Currently on 1,000. Yep, definitely over 1,000 people. Let us know how you're getting on. Front Row says they're 314th in the big TGT Fantasy League. We're nearly there. 1,539 players in our Fantasy League, and I'm in the top 33%, which I'll take, to be fair. I'm currently on, what's my points tally for the season? 1,000. Where am I? 1,903 is what I'm on at the moment. Because Angus says, is there any prize for the winner? No, there's not. Because every time there is, every time we said that before, that we'd do a prize, but whenever someone wins the league, they never manage to get in contact with me via my socials. If they ever got in contact by a chat box or a comment, there's no way of me contacting them. So it never happened. But yeah, I'm happy to give a prize to the winner of the Fantasy League if they get in contact with me at the end of the season, if they can prove it. I'll sort a prize out for someone. There you go. Nigel says that they're 28th. Well, that's pretty impressive, to be fair. 28th in that, in the big league. The person who's top is at the moment Kaspar, Kaspar Visnapu, with 2,160 points. And yeah, quite the haul. So far this season, absolutely ridiculous. Let's jump into the chat for a couple more and then we'll round this off. Ben says, I think if Ten Hag were to win the FA Cup and Arteta didn't win anything else and they both left, would both have won two trophies each? It wouldn't look good. No, it wouldn't look good, would it? It wouldn't. Absolutely. There's no argument there to disagree with. At the end of the day, a manager will be measured come the end of their career, end of their tenure with a club, on what they won. You know, unless you're further down the table, then you're kind of measured on what you did. But, you know, Arteta, if he doesn't win anything bar the FA Cups and Community Shields that he's picked up, you know, will only be measured upon how he took Arsenal to a level where he was competing. But it would be a massive underachievement if he doesn't win the Champions League or the league during his tenure for me. If Arteta doesn't do either of those things under his next contract, which is earned in my view, it will be a humongous failure, without question. So, especially with Klopp leaving this season, potentially Guardiola leaving at the end of next season, there is a potential for Arsenal to be very dominant in the years to come. There's going to be other teams up there. It's not going to be easy by any stretch, and it's not certainly a God-given right that we will be. But there is real potential for us to have some long-term success. But you've got to deliver it. And if we don't deliver it in the next contract, it will be a monumental failure. It should. That's absolutely where we sit. Martin says, do you realise we could potentially celebrate some Tottenham's Day at their place on Sunday? I didn't know that, actually. If Arsenal win on Tuesday, they'll be on 77 points. Spurs will be on 60. How many games? They can pick up a maximum of what? Six games they got left. So 18 points. They can be on 78. Yeah, you're right. We could. If we win our next two games, it is St. Tottenham's Day. So we could celebrate it in their backyard. Derek says, Tom, we 100% need an early goal tomorrow night to give us the energy. We need Partey to start. Any word on Tommy or is he being held for Sunday? No idea about Tomiyasu. We'll hear from Arteta this afternoon. We'll get an update on that one as soon as we can. Nicholas says, the difference is United would sign Arteta tomorrow and Arteta would never sign Erik ten Hag. Arsenal would never sign. I don't think Arteta could sign him. Arsenal would not. I remember the days when we were looking at getting Arteta to... The talk of Arteta was leaving and ten Hag was being talked about as the guy to take over from Arteta. I mean, what a mistake those days were. And Granddaddy Gunapool says, we could potentially hit the 100 like barrier during this show. So let's make sure we smash it. Please make sure you do drop a like on the video. Help us to 1K. Every single day on the channel, it's hugely appreciated. So please make sure that you do drop a like on the video if you haven't done so. There's over 1,300 of you watching across YouTube and across Twitter as well. Thank you so much for doing so. And with that, I think we'll bring ourselves to the end of today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. Incredibly appreciative, as always, for your listenership. I'll be back, I presume, later on this afternoon for a preview looking ahead to tomorrow's game against Chelsea. Enjoy the start to your week. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go and you know a late winner's coming. Your mate's already got booked for a double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.